super team. I mean, stop mixing me up.
I know what you mean, boss, but we got to go Christmas shopping.
Oh, that's right. Let's get going. I want to do my shopping while the stores are still loaded with stuff. So let's...
Oh, Butterfly. Butterfly, there's someone at the door. Butterfly, where are you? Oh, well, I'll answer it myself. Well, of all people...
I locked myself out.
Come in, Butterfly, and get Mr. Benny's things. He's leaving.
I got him. Never mind. Come on, Rochester. Let's go. So long, Mary.
Goodbye, Miss Livingston.
Goodbye. I'm gonna buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that other... Oh, Dennis, I forgot you were still here.
Yeah, I just put my record on the phonograph. Would you like to hear it, Miss Livingston?
Sure, I would. Go ahead and play it.
Okay. Say, Miss Livingston, would you like to... Oh, well.
What, Dennis?
Never mind. Let's sit this one out.
Yes, I'd rather just listen to it.
Speak low. When you speak low, our summer day spark lost in the dark. Too soon, I feel wherever I go that tomorrow is near, tomorrow is here, and always too soon.
Don't turn the corners so fast.
Don't worry, boss. These taxi cabs can really take it.
Rochester, I've told you 1,000 times this is my own private car now. It's not a taxi. Anyway, I'm going to have the color changed. It's getting to be ridiculous. Rochester, you're coming to a red light. Watch it.
I see it, boss.
Hey, Bud, mind if I share this cab with you?
I'm sorry, mister, but this ain't no...
Driver, no one's asking you. certainly, mister. Hop right in.
Okay. Maple Avenue, driver.
Nice day, isn't it?
Yeah. How far are you going, buddy?
Oh, I'm going much further than Maple Avenue. So you pay me and I'll pay the driver. That'll save time.
I wish he'd step on it. I'm in a hurry to get home.
You are?
Yeah. I don't want to miss the Fred Allen program.
What? There.
Gosh, boss, how could you reach the brake from the back seat?
Never mind. This is where you get out, mister.
Why? What happened? What did I say?
Get out. Get out.
You can't put me out of this cab. Hey, driver.
I'm sorry, mister, but you'll have to get out.
Oh, I do, hey? Well, my name is Brown, and I'm going to report you to the president of this company.
Mr. Brown, you may not know it, but you were thrown out by the president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and star of stage, screen, and taxi cab.
That's telling them, Rochester. Let's go. Sure is proud of him, this store. I wish I'd have done my Christmas shopping early like I did last year. You going to buy any gifts in here, Rochester?
No, I already did my shopping.
You did? Where?
At Saks Central Avenue.
Now, let's see. I want to get something for my girl, Gladys Zabisco. But I don't know what.
Why don't you ask the floor walker?
Yeah. Oh, mister. Mister, are you the floor walker?
If I'm asked that question again, I'm going to smash somebody right over the head.
What are you mad about? I just asked you if you were the floor walker.
You see this carnation in my lapel?
Yes.
Or what do you think I am, a long stem?
Oh, then you are the floor walker.
Of course. I'm not rugged enough to be a customer. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, I'm interested in something for my girlfriend. What would you suggest?
Well, what does your girl look like?
Well, she's kind of thin and scrawny, and her hair's sort of stringy. But she really has a nice personality. She has a little turned-up nose. And she has two ears. And they,
Well, everybody's got two ears.
On the same side?
Rochester. That's the way she combs her hair. It's a large bun.
Well, I don't know what to suggest. Why don't you try our harness shop?
Oh, don't be so smart. Come on, Rochester. I'll find things myself. Let's go over to this counter here. Pardon me, miss. Is this the perfume department?
No, this is the cold cream counter. Can I smear something on you?
No, thanks. I'm not interested in cold cream.
You know, we're short of help, so they split my week between cold cream and hot water bottles.
Oh.
3 days a week I'm greasy, and the other three I'm overheated.
Well, I feel sorry for you.
You know, for 20 years I was behind the perfume counter. Nothing but perfume for 20 years. Perfume, perfume, perfume.
Well, that's too bad, Miss,
Just call me Stinky.
Well, look, miss, I have to buy something for,
Hey, boss, look. Here comes Mr. Harris.
Where? Oh, yeah. Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Hello, Chester.
Hello, Mr. Harris.
Doing a little shopping, Phil?
No, I came out here to see Don Wilson.
Don Wilson?
Yeah, he's playing Santa Claus here this year.
No kidding. Well, how'd he get the job?
It wasn't easy. He had to take off 20 pounds.
Gee, can you imagine Don being Santa Claus and talking to all the little kids, telling them about... Hey, wait a minute. Have I got a wonderful idea?
What is it, Jackson?
Let's pull a gag on Wilson. Now, Phil, you go over to the boys' department and get dressed up like a little kid.
Yeah?
And I'll go down to the women's ready-to-wear and dress up like a woman. See, I'll be your mother.
Okay, and I'll be the mean widow kid.
Boy, will we fool Don. Rochester, wait for me out in the car. And, Phil, I'll meet you in front of the toy department.
Okay.
Gee, I wish Jackson would hurry up. I feel like a dope standing here dressed up like a little kid. Oh, boy, look what Jackson's missing. Hiya, babe.
Shut up, it's me. Now, come on, let's fool Don. Come on, we'll go and fool with... Remember, I'm your mother.
Now, gather round, children, gather round, and I want to talk to each one of you in turn. Now, let me see. Who's next?
My little son is Santa Claus. Oh. My little son is Santa Claus.
All right, madam. Now, where is your little boy?
Now, where is he? Oh, Clearwater. Clearwater.
Doody, doody, Santa Claus. Doody, doody, Santa. Here I is, Mommy.
Isn't he a darling?
Yes, he's a cute little rascal.
Now, Clearwater, tell Santa Claus what you want for Christmas. Go ahead, don't be mad.
No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. No, I don't want to do it.
Now, Clearwater track saddle. Tell Santa what you want.
No, I don't want to do it.
Clearwater.
Don't want to do it.
Clearwater, take your foot out of your mouth. There. Now the other one. That's better.
Now, little boy, tell Santa what you want for Christmas.
I want some grape nuts, flakes.
Grape nuts, flakes?
Yes, my mommy and my dad, Woody, tells me that they're toasty brown and they're sweet as a nut.
That's right, my smart little man. And they're a whole grain cereal.
You're absolutely right, Santa.
Oh, how cute. Look at that nice little boy sitting on Santa Claus's lap. Such pretty golden curls he's got.
Yes, that little boy happens to be mine.
I'm not talking to you.
Now, tell me, Sonny, wouldn't you like to have a bicycle?
No, I want a grape nuts, Flakes, because they're delicious, nutritious, and not rationed.
That's right, and what else?
Well, there are basic seven foods, the kind of food my dad would eat, wants me to eat more of.
Well, 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 you certainly are a good little boy. You should be proud of him, Mrs. Clapsaddle.
Goodbye, Santa Claus.
Goodbye, Santa Claus.
Goodbye, Phil. So long, Jack.
Oh, darn it. He knew it. He knew it all the time.
What are we gonna do now, Mommy dear?
Oh, shut up, you little jerk. Come on, let's get out of here.
There's a certain phase to the effect that you can't take it with you. But tonight I'm going to tell you about something you can take with you and should take with you every morning of your life. That's the zippy, up-and-atom feeling that you get when you eat the right kind of breakfast instead of one of those sip-and-run affairs. Breakfast is the stoke-up meal, you know. The time when nutrition experts say we need at least one quarter of our day's nourishment. Well, for two grand-tasting stoke-up foods... Let me just mention grape nuts and grape nuts flakes. Because the experts also agree an adequate breakfast should include a cereal with whole grain food values. And that's certainly grape nuts and grape nuts flakes for you. Both are cram full of all-around whole grain nourishment, including iron, niacin, vitamin B1, the morale-building vitamin. And good, say, wait till you taste that zesty crispness, that distinctive nut-sweet flavor. So eat a good breakfast, do a better job. And for extra swell eating, make it tempting, nutritious grape nuts or grape nuts flakes.
Well, folks, that finishes another program, and we'll be back with you next Sunday night at the same time. Meanwhile, my cats and I want to send Christmas greetings to all of you. To all of you here at home and to all of our boys and girls in the service here and abroad. Good night, everybody.
Hot grape nuts. Sweet Meal. Yes, you bet. The swellest new hot cereal yet.
Get Grape Nut Sweet Meal. It's a prize in the big new package, jumbo size.
A thrifty treat, you'll all admit. But the first delicious taste of it.
Yes, quick cooking Grape Nut Sweet Meal is rich and hot and brown, with a grand roasted wheat flavor, luscious full-bodied texture, real whole wheat nourishment. Get hot Grape Nut Sweet Meal in the time-saving, money-saving new economy-size package. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company. KFI, Los Angeles.
Since 1992, DoorWorks Incorporated has been providing, installing, and servicing residential, commercial, and industrial doors and openers throughout Wisconsin. They're located right here in Wisconsin Rapids, and they're fully licensed and insured. All of their employees are certified, trained technicians that are trained to install and service all types of doors and openers. DoorWorks Incorporated wants to wish you and your family a very safe and happy holiday season.
This holiday season, give them a steal. Save $40 on the HSA 45 battery-powered hedge trimmer. Go to steelusa.com/giftguide. Now $99.99, was $139.99 MSRP. Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
Don't let a cold, sinus infections, or allergies ruin your holidays. Add Navage to your gift list so you can breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier all year long. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax products for home and industry present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie, with music by the Kingsmen and Billy Mills Orchestra. What two things are you most anxious to have in your home? Aren't they beauty and cleanliness? Well, think for a moment how easily and inexpensively you can have both beauty and cleanliness just with an occasional application of genuine Johnson's wax to your floors, furniture, and woodwork. A rich, mellow, polished wax surface is a thing of beauty in itself. The wax brings out the grain and beauty of the wood. It adds a soft luster to leather, linoleum, and metal surfaces. And, of course, this tough wax film protects these surfaces against wear, dirt, and moisture. Dust and dirt do not adhere readily to a wax-polished surface. So cleaning is not only easier, but a waxed home is actually cleaner and more sanitary. Johnson's wax is of the very finest quality and long-wearing. The cost is really very little. So why not practice protective housekeeping in your home with genuine Johnson's wax? Dealers everywhere carry it. There are certain people who simply won't admit that nature does anything right. They are the kind who gild cattails, paint Whose Little Tootsie Are You on the shells of baby turtles, and clip poodle dogs to look like anemic lions. Here's one of those people now, as we meet Fibber McGee and Molly.
Hey, Fred, how much you charge me to paint this Christmas tree white?
Why do you want it white, McGee?
What do you mean, why do I want it white? You got 100 trees in this lot you've painted white.
Yeah, and I think they're horrible.
What?
Some people like them that way.
Never mind the artistic comment, Fred. How much?
$10.
$10? To spray a little white paint on this half-pine tree? Who do you think you are, Rembrandt? Looky here, maybe you didn't understand, Fritz. I want this tree painted white, not gold-plated.
$10.
You're a pirate, and I'll bet you've made $200 already today.
You're a cheapskate, and I've made $340.
You're a robber, and you want to sell a half interest in this joint?
You're a stoop, and I wouldn't sell my own mother a half interest.
You're a low-down no-good.
Oh,
dirty, the dirty swindler. $10 to spray a little tree white. The rat. Cheating people right and left. Making $400 a day. The chiseler. I don't know whether to report him to the OPA or make him a better offer for a half interest. Low-down chiseler.
What's the matter, McGee? This time.
It's that guy Fred Corrigan that runs the Christmas tree lot at 14th and Oak. That dirty pine broker. Wanted to charge me $10 to paint our Christmas tree white.
Well, that does seem a little high, dearie. But think of the work there is to it. Putting all those needles back on after the paint dries.
They don't take the needles off. They just spray the tree. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. That's all there is to it.
Well, if wishing will make it so, why don't you do it yourself?
If it's a $10 job, I can't afford to pay myself that much. Besides, I haven't got a paint spray, so... Hey, haven't we got a paint spray attachment on the vacuum cleaner?
Oh, dear.
Oh, my gosh, I can have that tree painted white before you can say, don't it look awful?
Now, McGee, please, I realize we need the house painted, but not on the inside. Let's leave the tree green.
Oh, you'll love a white one, Snooky. It's the modern thing. Nobody uses green trees anymore. They're outmoded.
You don't say. Well, tell me, Salvador. What color snow are people using this year? Chartreuse?
No kidding, Molly. White Christmas trees are all the rage. Everybody.
They must be. They throw me into one. Now, look, sweetheart. Just put the tree up and trim it. I love a green Christmas tree. Don't you, Alice?
Don't I what, Mrs. McGee?
Look, Molly, I'll put it up to Alice fair and square and let her give an opinion. Here's the preposition, kid. If you were going to have a Christmas tree, which would you rather have? A dusty, drab, dirty old green one or a bright, snappy, glistening white one?
Which, Alice?
Mistletoe.
Oh. Mistletoe. What an answer.
Well, jeepers, don't you like to hang up a little bouquet of mistletoe, Mr. McGee?
Oh, he's too shy, Alice.
I am not shy. What good is mistletoe? Catch somebody under it, and it's either somebody you can kiss anyway, like your wife, or you get a slap in the chops before you can point up to it. Mistletoe, bah. That's just poison ivy with berries.
Well, we'll put some up, Alice, and you'll see who manages to spend most of his time loitering around beneath it.
Yeah.
But honestly now, dear, do you like a white Christmas tree?
Well, I like them all, Mrs. McGee. I don't care if they're purple. Gertrude always has a white one, though, and she likes them.
Who's Gertrude? We know her.
Oh, she's the boy who always rides past here in the cream-colored Cadillac and honks his horn, sister.
Ah, yes. I see. Well, himself, he used to go with a man who owned a Stutz Bearcat's niece.
Yeah. Yeah, but I gave her up for an old guy with a broken-down Maxwell's daughter. But honestly now, Alice, don't you really prefer a white Christmas tree?
Well, I got awfully tired of them, Mr. McGee. When I was a little girl, my father gave us kids some little tiny paintbrushes and told us to paint a Christmas tree white.
Heavenly days.
Wow.
It must have taken you children a long time to paint a tree with little brushes. How long did it take you, Alice?
Oh, we never did get it finished. But it kept us off the streets till we were 18 years old. Well, I gotta wrap some presents. See you later.
Right, kid. How all that lovely golden hair can grow out of that solid bone, I'll never know.
Oh, she's awfully sweet, though, McGee. There isn't a mean thought in Alice's head.
No, nor any other kind. Well, this ain't getting my tree sprayed.
Where'd you leave the tree, dearie?
Out in front. I can attach the vacuum cleaner cord from the porch light. Now, let me see if I get the porch...
Come in. Oh, hello there, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, Molly. How are you today, pantry paunch?
Fine, Jumbo, fine. You out spreading a little Christmas cheer, telling your patients you're going to retire?
Oh. He's not going to retire for years yet, are you, Doctor?
My dear, I will retire on that far distant day when I can write a personal check for $400 and not have the hired help at the Fourth National Bank burst into hysterical laughter.
Why, go on, you old miser. You got that much buried under a loose brick in the fireplace right now. Trouble with you is you got more affection for a dollar than my wife has for a pound of butter. And that's the love match of the year, Fatso.
Ah, you have no right to say that, though, McGee. Dr. Gamble does more private charity work than anybody in town.
Certainly. I'm a very noble character. When I walk down the street, flowers spring into bloom.
Oh.
Birds burst into song, and taxi cabs honk twice before they try to kill me. Well, I gotta run along. long now. This is my busy season, you know.
I suppose the children keep you pretty busy around Christmas time, Doctor, huh?
No, it's the so-called grown-ups, my dear.
Huh?
This is the silly season, when 200-pound men start climbing 49-cent stepladders to wire dime store angels to the tops of $3 Christmas trees and wind up in a $500 plastic hat. Pennywise and compound fracture foolish.
Don't you want to stick around and watch me trim our Christmas tree, Doc? I'm painting it white.
Well, you don't have to do that, Skipwit.
Huh?
When I put my gift for you under it, it'll turn white.
Billy Mills and the Orchestra and the Parade of the Wooden Soldiers.
Clogs up like a sentimental woman at a sad movie.
What seems to be the matter, dear?
This paint spray goes along all right for a minute, then it chokes up. And when it comes loose again, it throws a blob of paint that'll knock IQ out of the balcony.
Well, pound it on the porch steps, and maybe that'll loosen it up.
Okay, I will.
There, now try it.
Okay. Ah!
Oh, heavenly days, Mickey, you almost hit me with that.
I'm sorry, kiddo, I didn't know it was loaded. Well, here we go. There, now, just... Dad ratted it, done it again. Clogged up.
Well, hurry up and get the job finished, McGee. It's colder than a lineman's lunch out here.
Well, you go on in the house if you want. I can handle this all right.
No, I've got to stay out here and tell people who you are.
Huh?
You get a little more of that white paint on you and they'll think you're a badly constructed snowman.
Okay. That does it. Now, I'll have this tree sprayed before you can
Watch your aim, dearie.
Huh?
No, you better shut it off. Here comes Mrs. Carstairs.
Oh.
Hello there, Mrs. Carstairs. Won't you come in the house and have a slug of tea?
No, thank you, my dear. I'm just out walking my Pekingese and must hurry along.
What Pekingese, Carsty? I don't see him.
Oh, it was too cold for him to come along, Mr. McGee. One of us goes out, he's satisfied.
Ah, it's really a sweet little dog, Millicent, from what I've seen of him.
Personally, I wouldn't have one of them four-legged dust mops as a gift. Give me a man-sized dog. I ever tell you about the hunting dog I had once, Carsty, by the name of Durante?
Durante?
Yeah, what a nose that dog had. Never forget one time we were walking through the woods. Me and my dog, pipe over my shoulder, gun in my mouth.
What was that again?
Gun over my shoulder and pipe in my mouth, when all of a sudden Durante freezes. He's on point. Nose quivering, tail out like a ramrod. 1 foot in the air. I raises my gun, walks slowly forward, and there, not 10 feet away, was a guy sitting on a stump.
That was quite a dog, Mr. McGee. Trained to flush game wardens, was he?
No, sir. I bawled the dog out, and then I was never so ashamed in my life. It was the smartest thing he'd ever done.
Why?
Well, sir, I got talking to the guy, and you know what? His name was Partridge.
Oh.
Henry W. Partridge. Wasn't that wonderful, Carsey?
No, I don't think that's so remarkable, Mr. McGee. In the light of what a police dog of mine once did.
What was that, Millicent? After all, it's so cold out tonight, the baloney won't spoil.
Well, this dog of ours was extremely intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
One day I had him in the post office, and I noticed he was staring at the police posters on the wall. Suddenly he dashed out the door and was gone.
Probably went out to steal an apple off a fruit stand, Carsty.
No. When I got home, he was gripping our butler by the vest pocket and was barking into the telephone, which he'd knocked off the table. When the police arrived, it turned out that Jarvis was wanted by the authorities in 3 states.
Yes, but why was your dog holding him by the vest pocket, Millicent?
That was where our butler kept his fountain pen. You see, he was wanted for forgery. Well, so nice to have seen you. Good evening.
Who does she think she's kidding? I don't believe a word of that stuff. I'll bet she made that whole thing up.
Well, never mind her, dearie. Get busy with that paint before it freezes solid, will you?
Huh? Oh, gee, it might at that. Well, back to work. There. Ah, there she blows. Yeah.
Stopped up again, McGee?
Yeah, the doggone thing. I only got about a third of this tree sprayed, too. Maybe if... Hey...
What?
How could Carstairs' dog be gripping the butler by the vest and barking into the phone at the same time?
Why, she didn't say he was gripping the butler with his teeth, dearie.
Huh?
You know, after all, a dog as smart as that could hold him down with one hind paw, dial the police station with the other, and use his front feet to take fingerprints.
Yeah, maybe, but how'd she... Oh, well, why should I worry? That's better yet.
You're getting
that's
more paint on yourself than you are on the tree, McGee.
Well, the wind keeps changing. They ought to make these paint sprays with a weather vane on them. All right, George,
Oh, dear. In the time you've taken to get this tree a dirty gray, pet, I could have whitewashed the Kaibab National Forest with a flip gun.
Well, doggone it, I don't see...
Hello, folks. What's going on
Hello,
here?
Hello, Mr. Wilkine.
Hi, Junior. Pull up a front step and give yourself a 3-point landing.
Hey, you want your Christmas tree painted white, Mr. Wilcox? Trot home and get it.
Yeah, I won't be out here very long, Junie, as soon as I adjust the nozzle on this paint.
Hey, wait a minute, Mac. Do you mean to stand there like a front man for a painter's colic and tell me you're actually going to ruin that pretty little tree with white paint? Ruining that refugee from the forest primeval? Despoiling a magnificent evergreen?
Ah, skip the dramatics, Junior. We know you memorized Evangeline in high school.
And you played the heavy in the Chautauqua Company of Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, too, didn't you, Mr. Wilcox?
The juvenile lead, if you please. I also had 3 seasons of Shakespeare.
A likely story. When you play Shakespeare, son, that's when Othello needs a friend.
Everyone in Omaha, I'll have you know, said I was another Barrymore.
Hmm.
Why, when I came out in my tights and said, oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I.
You can say that again.
Now, hush, McGee, I love Shakespeare. Go on, Mr. Wilcox.
Is it not monstrous that this player here, seeing a lady forced to menial task and seeing such drudgery, would not then dispense a thing called Johnson's glow coat? Forsooth, a goodly fluid, which spread upon the scullery linoleum, would thus eliminate the scrub. No rub, no bump. Just pour it on, and in 1/3 the time it takes for our glass to turn, it dries.
If Shakespeare ain't in the public domain, this 2-bit Orson Welles is going to be sued for $9 million.
Ah, yes, it dries. And so mirror-like it gleams. The porridge spilled, wiped off, leaves not a single spot. The labor saved, the hours gained, the beauty seen. 'Tis Glowcoat. Beloved by Chatelaine and serving wench alike. Your nearest dealer.
Hey, now wait a minute, Mr. Wilcox. Is that in Hamlet?
My dear girl, it's in every hamlet, every village, every town, city, and metropolis. Every place where a housewife takes pride in the appearance of her kitchen. And if I don't get back to the office in the next 10 minutes, I'll find myself back in Chautauqua. So long, kid.
Tango's the biggest ham I've seen since Blue Boy went to the state fair. He better be careful or he'll wind up on a platter with an apple in his mouth. Now, but this ain't getting my tree sprayed.
Well, hurry up. You almost got it done now.
Yeah. Let's see. I get it all loosened up good. Ah, there she goes. Ah, this is the best it's been yet.
Yeah.
Look how white the tree is getting, Molly.
There's one question I'd like to ask you, McGee. Are you sure?
Don't bother me now, kiddo. I'm doing too good. Hot dog. Ain't that getting beautiful? I finally got this spray gun working perfect.
I know, but look, McGee, I've been wanting to ask you if...
Later, Tootsie, waiter. I'm just about finished now. Just up there a little bit. I'm through. All done. And believe me, that's the whitest white Christmas tree you'll ever see. Now, won't you admit this is a mighty pretty effect, baby?
Yes, if you like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll go and make some hot coffee, dearie.
Okay.
McGee?
Huh?
Whose Christmas tree is this on the front porch?
Oh, that's the one I bought this morning that I'm going to paint white. What? Oh, my gosh, what tree did I paint?
The one that's been growing there in the yard all these years. Bring in the vacuum cleaner when you come.
Of all that debt, if I ain't the dumbest bloke that ever drew breath. A wise guy. A know-it-all. Can't tell one tree from another, one that's growing and one that ain't. I'm a sapit. I'm a brainless, incompetent, ham-handed butterfingers. If I wasn't so stupid, I'd never let me sit here and insult myself like this. Dad, rat, dad.
Hi, mister. What's the matter?
I know that voice. Is that you, Teeny?
Sure is, I betcha. What you sitting there with your head in your hands for, mister? Got a headache? Want me to get you an aspirin, Want me to?
No, thanks, sis. Medicine won't touch the kind of headache I got. I just busted my ego in four places.
Gee, I'm sorry, mister.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Who did that?
Huh? Who did what?
Who painted that tree white?
Hmm?
Gee, is that ever beautiful?
Yeah, but that ain't the one.
And it's growing right there in your yard.
Yeah, you see, I got a little confused and
Mr. McGee, you're wonderful.
Huh? I am?
Mm-hmm. You're the nicest man in town, I bet you.
Hmm?
You put your Christmas tree right out in the front yard where everybody can share it with you, didn't you?
Well, I didn't exactly.
Gee, all the kids in the neighborhood are going to love you for this, mister. Boy, I can hardly wait till you get it all lighted up.
You can't, eh?
Hmm?
I says you can't, eh?
Can't what?
You can't wait till I get it all lighted up.
Gee, neither can I. And you know what, mister?
What?
When it's growing in the ground like that, it can't wobble and fall over either. Mm-hmm. Our Christmas tree at home is always wobbly.
Yeah, lots of people make that mistake, sis. They don't stop to think if they were a tree and got all lit up and then came into a warm room, they'd wobble a little too. Skip it. So you think it looks all right out here in the front yard?
Oh, boy. I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Now all the little children that haven't got Christmas trees can come and see yours, can't they?
Yeah, I kind of plan to get a lot of little bags of candy and stuff and let the kids help themselves Christmas Eve, sis. I just planned that. Think they'd like that?
Gee, will they ever? And us kids will sing.
Sing what?
You know, the song we sing for you every Christmas time. 'Twas the night before Christmas, the one we just recorded.
Oh.
Would you like to hear it now, mister? Would you,
Yes. Yes, I believe I would, sis.
Okay. Hey, Kenny, Johnny, Buddy, Randy, come here. He wants to hear it, all right.
Wonderful bunch of kids going around the neighborhood with a 30-piece orchestra.
Was the night before Christmas and all. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
Down for a long,
to see what was the matter. All the way to the window, I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, threw open the sash. Then, what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and a tiny reindeer. For the little old driver so lively and quick that I knew right away that it must be St. Nick. All bundled in fur from his head to his foot, old Santa was covered with ashes and soot. I drew in my head and was turning around when down the chimney he came with a bow.
His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow. The beard on his chin was as white as the snow.
The stump of a little pipe he held tight in his teeth.
But went straight to his work and filled all the stockings.
Oh, boy.
Then turned with a jerk. And laying a finger aside of his nose
and giving a nod up the chimney he rose. He sprang from his sleigh to his feet, gave a whistle, and away they all flew like a dove. But I heard him exclaim, and he drove out of sight.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all, good night.
Oh, is he gone?
It's the night after Christmas, and all. Not a creature is stirring, not even a mouse. The presents are scattered and broken, I fear. And St. Nicholas won't come again for a year. The children are nestled all warm in their wee little bed.
Sugar plums dance in their wee little heads.
Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap are settled at last for a
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's from everyone at Gary's Coins, 210 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. They look forward to seeing you in 2024 for all your rare coin and stamp needs. A proud sponsor of WFHR's 30 Hours of Christmas.
The end of the year brings no greater joy than the opportunity to express how grateful we are to our furry friends and our customers. Happy holidays to all, and may your new year be filled with happiness and success. Can't wait to see you in 2024 at Bow Wow Meow Boutique, a proud sponsor of 30 Hours of Christmas.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Comer, sports broadcaster on WIRI. I'd just like to wish a very Merry Christmas from my family to you and yours.
Welcome to Radio Spirit's Holiday Classics. Today, we'll hear a classic Charles Dickens tale, and then we'll drop in for some holiday cheer at Duffy's Tavern. Let's start with A Christmas Carol, as first heard on the Campbell Playhouse from December 24th, 1939.
Makers of Campbell Soups present The Campbell Playhouse. Orson Welles, producer. Clearly, a number of ways in which a Christmas carol could be introduced. Myself, I am most struck by the happy fortune that enables us on this Christmas Eve to present Mr. Lionel Barrymore, the best-loved actor of our time, in the world's best-loved Christmas story, A Christmas Carol. It is the American way, as we know, to establish traditions quickly where popular instinct and sentiment pronounce them sound. And so it is that today, actually only the fifth anniversary of Mr. Lionel Barrymore's first playing of the part of Ebenezer Scrooge for the Campbell Playhouse, there is, I think, in all America nothing more eagerly awaited, more firmly rooted in the hearts of the radio family that numbers millions, with this yearly performance of A Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol, as Charles Dickens wrote it, has by common consent long been a classic. Mr. Lionel Barrymore's appearance in it is rapidly becoming one. Now, just before A Christmas Carol, Ernest Chappell has a special Christmas greeting from the makers of Campbell Soups. Mr. Chappell.
Thank you, Orson Welles. As the old year draws toward its close, we of Campbell's feel a bond of warmth and gratitude toward each of you, our friends. Well, you see, in homes everywhere throughout the land, Campbell's Soups have been welcome. Day by day and week by week, you have placed confidence in us and in the foods we make. And there isn't anything we appreciate more deeply than the fact that so many of you have elected to let Campbell's make your soups for you. And so when Christmas comes, we look about to find some way to show our appreciation, some Christmas present by which to say thank you. The gift we chose 5 Christmases ago and have chosen each year since has become a part of Christmas to many and many a family. It has become a Christmas custom to gather round the radio to hear and to enjoy A Christmas Carol. And since it is Christmas Eve, we hope, too, that the younger members of the family are permitted to stay up and listen before dreams and visit of Santa. We get a great deal of pleasure planning and preparing this Christmas gift. And now it's ready. Off come the wrappings. Off come the tags that say, please do not open till Christmas. Out comes the card, to you from Campbell's. And here is the gift itself.
Marley was dead to begin with. No doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it. And Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. Scrooge knew he was dead? Of course he did. Scrooge and Marley were partners for I don't know how many years. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone with Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house, a grim, cheerless place if ever there was one. The door of Scrooge's counting house was open, that he might keep his eye upon his clerk, Bob Cratchit, who in a cold and dismal little cell beyond, worked at his ledgers.
Merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. 23. Christmas Day. 11, 13, 17, 12.
Bob Cratchit.
Yes, Mr. Scrooge.
Stop that infernal caterwauling.
Yes, sir.
15, 17, 20, 22.
Singing their idiotic Christmas carols at my very door. Go somewhere else and bellow your blasted carols, or I'll give you in charge.
Sorry, Governor. It's an old custom for Christmas time, you know.
Yes, and I don't want any of your old customs. Take your fellow fools and go away. Christmas. Blah.
Merry Christmas, Uncle. Merry Christmas, Bob.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Fred.
God save you, Uncle.
Ah, humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? No, I'm sure you don't mean that.
I mean just that. Exactly that. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you? You're bored enough.
Well, what right have you to be dismal about Christmas, Uncle? You're rich enough.
Ah.
Now, Uncle, don't be cross.
Well, what else can I be? And I live in such a world of fools. What's Christmas to you but a time for paying bills without money? Merry Christmas. A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should.
Uncle?
Nephew, keep your Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it, but you don't keep it, Uncle.
Well, let me leave it alone, then. What do you want? A Christmas gift, I no doubt.
I came to wish you a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
A Merry Christmas. Much good may Christmas do you. Much good it ever has done you.
There are many things from which I derived good by which I have not profited materially, I dare say, Uncle. Christmas among the rest. But I have always thought of Christmas time as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good and will do me good. And I say, God bless it.
God bless Christmas. Hurrah!
Let me hear another sound out of you there, Bob Cratchit, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation. As to you, nephew, I wonder you don't go into Parliament. You talk enough nonsense.
Don't be angry, Uncle. I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why can't we be friends?
Good afternoon.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I've tried. A Merry Christmas to you, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year, too.
Ah, humbug.
And a Merry Christmas to you, Bob, and the missus, and Tiny Tim.
Thank you, Mr. Fred. Same to you, sir. Good day, sir.
Good day, Bob.
Nonsense. Squandrel. Nummery. Talking of Christmas and not two sixpences to jingle together in his trousers pocket. You there, Bob Cratchit. Come here. What are you doing there?
I was only putting a bit more coal on the fire, Mr. Scrooge, seeing it's so cold in there, sir.
Well, you put that coal back into the scuttle. A fire! A fire, indeed! I can tell you, if you use coal at that rate, you and I will soon be parting company, Bob Cratchit. You understand that? There's many a young fellow like your situation, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. My fingers were getting a little stiff with the cold.
Then put on your mittens. There's someone at the door. See who it is.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
This is the firm of Scrooge and Marley.
Yes, sir.
I should like to see the head of the firm, if I may.
Oh, very good, sir.
What is it?
A gentleman to see you, Mr. Scrooge.
Huh?
Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Marley's been dead these 7 years tonight. I'm Scrooge.
Well, now, Mr. Scrooge, at this season of the year, it's only fitting that we who are more fortunate should raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. You may not believe it, sir, but many thousands are now in want of common necessities, and hundreds of thousands are in want of the simplest comfort, sir.
Are there no prisoners?
There are plenty of prisons, sir.
And the workhouses? They're still in operation, I trust.
I wish I could say they are not, but they are, sir.
The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor, then?
Both very busy, sir.
Oh, well, I'm very glad to hear that. I was afraid from what you said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful cause.
No, sir, all these institutions that you mention are flourishing. But it's nevertheless true that some additional provision for the poor and the destitute must be made. A few of us upon change are endeavoring to raise such a fund, you see. And what shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
Oh, I see. You wish to be anonymous, sir.
I wish to be let alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas time, and I can't afford to keep a lot of idle people and make them merry. I help support the establishments that take care of the poor. They cost enough. Let those who are badly off go there.
Many can't go there, sir. And many would rather die.
Well, then my advice to them is to do so and decrease the surplus population. Besides, I've only your word for it that all this is so.
It's the truth, Mr. Scrooge.
So be it, then. It's not my business. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, sir.
I quite understand, Mr. Scrooge.
Cratchit, show this gentleman out.
Yes, sir. This way, please. Sir, I couldn't help overhearing. I should like to contribute threepence.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir. It isn't much, but it's all I can afford. There are others in worse situation than I.
You're a generous fellow. I wish I might say so of your employer.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yes, sir.
Merry Christmas. Close the door.
Yes, sir. I have closed it, sir. 24, 31, voluntary, 3. New scarlet tippet for Tiny Tim. The comb for Martha. 33, 3, and carry 3. Hair ribbon for Belinda. 4, 7, 12, 15.
I suppose you want the entire day tomorrow.
If it's quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient, and it's not fair. But I suppose I can't do anything about it. If I was to stop half a crown of your wages, you'd think yourself very ill-used, I'll be bound.
Well, sir, I...
And yet you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work?
It's only once a year, sir.
Once a year. Once a year, indeed. A fine excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose it's no good talking. You must have the whole day. Well, see that you're here all the earlier the next morning. Do you understand?
Oh, I will, sir. I will, sir, indeed. Good night, sir, and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
You're listening to Radio Spirits Holiday Classics. We'll return after a short break.
This Christmas, may your blessings be many, your worries few, and days spent with those who mean the most to you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's from all of us at the Arts Council of Southwood County, a proud supporter of WFHR's 30 Hours of Christmas.
Wishing you a happy holiday. Hope you enjoy this time of year with your loved ones and have a wonderful new year in 2024. From the Herman